You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's a Tuesday morning, September 16th, 2025, 6:06 in the morning. A beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on social media, by app, podcast. Nice to have you here getting this Tuesday underway. A Tuesday that started mostly dry across most of Wisconsin, but in the past hour or so, some showers and I'm sure some rumbles of thunder started up this morning. Brittany Merlot will be around in an hour, but right now they've got an area of showers and thunderstorms that have popped up, stretching from Stanley to Ladysmith to Phillips. There's another area around Mauston, another area just north of Nisida. Pretty much just in line with what Brittany was forecasting, saying that there would be some early showers or storms in north central Wisconsin this morning. But then she says it's going to be sunny and summery everywhere as the day goes on, with highs in the 80s and a southeast wind at about 10 miles an hour. Again, plenty more details coming up from her later this morning. I got a question for you. Who gets to determine if something you say is protected by the First Amendment? And should it be politicians, especially potentially unstable politicians ruled by emotion in the wake of a political act of violence? I have some thoughts on this that I'm going to share around 6:22 by my calculations, 15 minutes from now. Naturally, it ties in to Congressman Derek Van Orden's still ongoing quest to use his official office to punish people he doesn't like, even threatening to defund one of the biggest cities in his congressional district. How's that for representation? Well, to that end, coming up 1 hour from now, Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge will be with us. She's also a candidate for Congress who got into the race in part because she was tired of her congressman ignoring or even trashing her hometown. She's got thoughts on what's been happening with him recently. Also, to hear the Speaker of the House tell it Republicans have no interest in working with Democrats to reach a budget deal and avoid a government shutdown, even though GOP members can't agree amongst themselves how to write a budget. Democrats are demanding that Republicans dismantle a health care cost bomb that's going to skyrocket health insurance premiums. But Speaker Mike Johnson seems content to watch families endure health care sticker shock. We're going to talk to Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson in our 8 o'clock hour, live from Capitol Hill. And at 8:30, we'll visit with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area with the latest on the Wisconsin governor's race, what with Kelderoy's getting in the race yesterday. All right, we've passed along the forecast. The Brewers, they were off. The Packers didn't play either, but they sure seem to be in the news for one good reason. So let's bring in Parker Olson, who produces everything down in Madison Studio A2 for us. Mr. Olson, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. You know, probably not as good as the people at, you know, Amazon Prime or or the Green Bay Packers or CBS, because I guess for the second week in a row now, the Packers have helped set ratings records.
Wow.
So, we are America's team. I mean, we've known that. You can't let Dallas, you know, you don't want to hurt their fifis, so you let them, you know, keep the moniker, but we know. According to Drake Bentley, an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Packers-Commanders game was the most watched Thursday night football game on Amazon Prime ever.
Wow.
Nielsen reporting an average of 17.7 million viewers, a peak of 20 million viewers watching the Packers beat Washington 27-18. And by the way, the previous all-time high for Amazon Prime was also a Packer game last December against the Lions. And like I said, it was the second week in a row the Packers gave a network historic viewership ratings. CBS says that the season opener, Packers against Detroit, that was their most watched week one game since 1998.
Oh,
I mean, that's
wow.
Pre-Parker.
That is well pre-Parker.
You've heard of BC, you know, this isn't BC. This is PP. This is pre-Parker that, you know, we were setting those kinds of ratings, but the Packers do that.
The Packers are good. So there's a lot of hype with Micah Parsons. Come on. Gotta watch.
Yeah. Tony puts on YouTube, just imagine the ratings when the Packers play the Cowboys after this next preseason game versus the Browns. Tony, it's not a preseason game against Cleveland. He'll be talking like that. Talk big. And then when things go haywire.
My uncle is a Browns fan. I have to talk a little bit of smack when we play the Browns. It's just how it works.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with talking a little smack here. Of course, that game against the Browns will be next Sunday at noon on several Civic Media stations. So you can check out the website for that. Brewers were off yesterday. They are taking on the Los Angeles Angels. The Los Angeles Angels, again, for those who don't speak Spanish, Parker translates into
The Angels Angels.
Yes, thank you very much. Coverage begins at 6:05 on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. These days now, again, the Brewers had that 19 games and 18 day stretch. And I don't, you know, you don't want that. You want the team to have some days off.
Yeah.
But I got to admit, those off days sometimes are on a Thursday, sometimes they're on a Monday. Yeah. I kind of wander around the house here and I'm like,
what do I do now?
What do I do? It's like, I mean, we do watch things on TV. So what we ended up doing was we watched the second half of the Emmys, because of course we can't stay up that late to see the whole thing. Okay. So even though there was a bit of a spoiler alert, shall we say, on, you know, who was going to get the awards, we still wanted to see it. Sure. We wanted to see how Nate Bargatze got through the whole conundrum of, you know, taking money away from the Boys and Girls Club if people went over their allotted time for their speeches.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, I agree with the critics. When I first heard about it, I thought that's unique.
Yeah.
But it started to feel like, you know, just going back to the same well over and over again. And
every joke
was starting to wear out its welcome, because you could see people wanted to say more, be more thankful. But of course, they were feeling the pressure of the time.
Yeah.
Other people did not feel that pressure at all. Don't you love those speeches where it's like, wow, they really don't care if the orchestra tries to play them off. They are just going to talk and talk.
I can't remember who it was. There was some Hall of Fame speech. I want to say it was a football player, but I'm not positive. It might have been baseball. Oh, I don't remember.
Who was that? Yes. But
somebody went like ridiculously over, and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but they only get that microphone that one time, and you would have to literally wrestle it out of their hands. And that's why when we set our DVR, and it always, you know, comes up with this little thing. Now, this is a live event. Do you want to add an extra half hour? And you want to add an extra hour? Like, yes, add the extra half hour, because there's nothing like recording something and then boom, it runs out and it's not done.
I'm sorry, Pat. We have to backtrack to this. Do you still use a VCR?
No, a DVR.
DVR. Sorry. Yeah. You still use that?
Yeah. Oh, not just any DVR. Again, keep in mind, I'm a man in my 60s. It's a TiVo, which we got back in 1999. One of the original DVRs. We got that with the little, it makes a little bloop sound for everything. So we don't talk about, you know, sometimes you freeze a program, and that way when you run it back a little bit later on, you can skip through the commercial breaks.
Yeah.
We don't even call them commercial breaks. We call them bloops, because then you hit your little fast forward button and it goes bloop, 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 and takes you right through all the commercials. So yes, we have a DVR. Why do you ask?
I just don't know anyone who uses a DVR anymore.
I don't know. Tony's right there on YouTube saying TiVo is a modern marvel. Thank you, Tony. Well, thank you. I mean, what do you, I mean, I get it. If you're streaming, yeah, you can stop, you can pause and all that. But if it's a live show on one of the networks or something, how do you watch it otherwise?
I guess I don't. I guess that's all I got to it. We've been streaming for a while now, so I don't. I mean, you can record stuff, but that's like through the streaming service. It's not.
Okay, but again, network TV, let's say the Super Bowl is on CBS or something like that. And
yeah,
turns out you got to go run this errand and you'll be back an hour later. So you're going to watch it then. You're just going to miss that hour. You have no way of recording something you really want to see.
You can record it. Like we have Hulu, like you can record it on Hulu.
Okay, but again, it's not on Hulu. It's actual television.
Yeah, you know, we have Hulu Live.
Over the air.
We have live TV through Hulu, so we could.
Okay.
The actual air, that's not a thing in my house anymore, I don't think.
It isn't, is it, for you?
No, yeah. It's a vacuum. Yeah.
It's all going to come through the tubes of the internets, yes. And that's the only way that it works out. All right. I understand. So, yeah, it's a digital video recorder, which again, for me, like Tony, it's a modern marvel because I remember having to record or set a time to record on the VCR. And the VCRs, the video cassette recorders, had these tiny little buttons. Yeah. Or if you're using the remote, you maybe had to push a button over and over again. Like you want to record something at 12 o'clock. So you have to hit it. It says one, hit the button two, hit the button three, hit the button four, hit the button five, hit the button six. And God forbid it's at 6:30.
Yeah, because really.
Now you move the little cursor over, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to 6:30. Thank goodness we don't record. There's no shows on at 6:50. You know, but I mean, this is. I never really considered my life to be a struggle, but you're making it sound like I was living in Little House on the Prairie in a sod hut.
I mean,
when it comes to having to record TV shows.
I understand. Like, we have a DVR still, but I don't think it's been used since I was a child.
Well, look, on the text line, Scott and Madison is setting the record straight. Recording Hulu Live is DVR. I mean, that is what you're doing. It's a digital video recorder.
I mean, yeah, I guess I just think of it more as like, DVR, I think of as the physical thing.
Yes, and ours is a physical thing.
I don't
have
a
tangible things. Sometimes I've actually touched a newspaper, unlike you. You know, sometimes you have to touch the things that are there.
I touched them. I just didn't buy them.
Okay. One other note about the Packers being really good for ratings. Turns out they're good for views too. We got our weekly report on the most watched stories on Up North News, the most engaged stories, and our highest rated TikTok video of the past week was simply what's new on the Lambeau Field menu. Remember we went through all those foods that are new at Lambeau Field? Yeah, 100,000 views, more than 500 shares on there because people love their Packers and people love their food. And you start throwing little, you know, Wisconsin ties into that food with little brats and the other things that we were talking about recently. People like to share that stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also, our most watched, most engaged story on Facebook of the past week was about a Madison company working on a blood test that detects cancers earlier. And that got 327,000 views for a story that was originally reported by the Wisconsin State Journal that we were telling people about. And then over on Instagram, looks like one of our highest posts of the past few days was pretty recent. It was the first post where we noticed that while other leaders were trying to tone down the confrontational outbursts after the Charlie Kirk murder, Congressman Derek Van Orden was just getting warmed up. He was just starting to fan the flames of violent rhetoric and political threats. And that got 35,000 views of people who were looking at that saying, should a member of Congress really be doing that? And he still is. And we're going to talk about it in just a moment. First, from the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All All right, a reminder. We have moved our history lesson from 6:50 in the morning to 6:35. And so and Tony's right there with us for the time change, noting, Parker, I'll set my DVR. So setting his DVR for the history lesson coming up at 6:35 today. We've can't got the up. Most on the ball listeners out there. But first, we've got to get back to current events, which are unfortunately a little bit more serious. Before we get to Congressman Derek Van Orden taking the next step toward politicians policing your free speech, let's see where he's getting some of his ideas. For example, from the Vice President of the United States, who on Monday guest hosted Charlie Kirk's former radio show. From his government office, and the Vice President used the show to threaten to bring the resources of the United States government down on anyone who they accuse of harboring views that they consider to be worthy of infringing. All across the Trump administration, cabinet secretaries and federal department heads are spending their time and your tax dollars to identify organizations that they believe fund or support violence against conservatives. The goal, they told the New York Times, was to categorize left-wing activity that led to violence as domestic terrorism, an escalation that critics say could lay the groundwork for crushing anti-conservative dissent more broadly. Of course, this current government is without many of the men and women who had been investigating actual domestic terrorism. They've been let go or they've been reassigned to immigration duty since the White House didn't like the reality that the bulk of the work that was being done to keep America safe was to keep America safe from far-right groups. From ProPublica, they write, the White House is redirecting counterterrorism personnel and funds toward a sweeping deportation campaign, claiming the southern border is the greatest domestic security threat facing the country. There have been millions in budget cuts that have gutted terrorism-related law enforcement training and shut down studies studying the frequency of attacks. It's all part of a swing in focus that started with the president's clemency for those who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. In other words, it's the Trump White House that's asleep at the switch when it comes to protecting the country, but now that one of their own has been a victim, the focus isn't on public safety, but on partisan vengeance. One of Trump's cabinet secretaries, Sean Duffy, is relishing this chance to play Big Brother. I mean the government form of Big Brother, not the reality series Big Brother, but he probably wishes he could have. Duffy, of course, was on road rules, which is why Donald Trump thought he was qualified to be the United States Secretary of Transportation. Anyway, Duffy not only celebrated recent discipline against pilots who used their free speech to comment on the Charlie Kirk murder, he made the big government leap to equating bad thoughts with bad performance, saying of the airlines, quote, any company responsible for the safety of the traveling public cannot tolerate that behavior. That behavior, of course, again, being free speech. But in their mind, having a contrary opinion makes you dangerous at your job. But of course, that's how Duffy got his job in the first place. Recall what Trump said in nominating Duffy, that he was going to, quote, make our skies safe again by eliminating DEI for pilots and air traffic controllers. In other words, if any women or Black Americans were pilots or air traffic controllers in Trump's view, they were less qualified. Now, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, Charlie Kirk, January 23rd, 2024. Quote, if I see a Black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. So if having the wrong skin color makes you a dangerous pilot in the minds of Donald Trump and his cabinet, why wouldn't having political opinions you don't like also make you dangerous? That's some big government stuff right there, and that takes us back to Congressman Van Orden. It's one thing to tweet about using the government to harass or penalize someone for their thoughts and opinions. It's another to introduce a bill to actually do that. You know who introduced a bill to do that on Monday? Derek Van Orden. His office announced a new bill that would prohibit federal funds from going to entities employing those who condone and celebrate political violence and domestic terrorism. And if that sounds okay to you, let me ask you this. Whose job is it to determine if someone is, quote, condoning political violence? And who gets to decide what crosses the line into political violence? After all, we've lost track of the number of times Derek Van Orden, a member of Congress, has referred to Democrats as, quote, domestic terrorists. would he introduce that kind of a bill today if Democrats were the ones in charge? I mean, think back to the days of Senator Barack Obama, Senator Hillary Clinton, Senator Ted Kennedy. If back then any of them said they wanted this kind of law, Republicans would be talking about burning down the Capitol and lashing out at so-called thought police. But of course, we know they've already done a dress rehearsal for burning down the Capitol, and now they're the ones who want the thought police enshrined into law. With any luck, this whole episode eventually simmers down. At the moment, we hope it's just emotional flailing from emotional men like Van Orden and Duffy and Vance and Trump. Their feelings get hurt so easily and they lash out so hard. And it's understandable to be hurt when someone close to you is murdered. Ask any parent who's lost a child in a school shooting as they watch politicians do nothing about the real world. So let's get back to the real world and what Van Orden and others should be working on. One, we are closing in on the possibility of a government shutdown. Two, we are closing in on a date when a bunch of Americans are going to see their health insurance premiums skyrocket if the Affordable Care Act supports aren't renewed. Three, we're about to see farmers in a world of hurt because the crops are going to come in and there's no place to put everything that China isn't buying. Grocery prices are still out of hand. The job market is getting softer. And the people who promised to focus like a laser on making things affordable are busy reading your social media posts and deciding if you should be punished. Do not let them intimidate or silence you. You are allowed to have opinions. You have that freedom. Don't take that away from yourself. That's what Derek Van Orden and J.D. Vance and others actually want. They want the intimidation and self-censorship. Don't let it happen to you, because it sure as hell ain't happening over here. Today's history lesson after this. You're up north. This was the number one song this day in 1972. The ink is black, the page is white. Together we learn to read and write. A child is black, a child is white. The whole world looks. I figured we better play the song before it's made illegal because it's allegedly divisive. So that was Three Dog Night, the number one song this day 53 years ago, 1972. On this day in 1620, the Pilgrims set sail from Plymouth, England in the Mayflower. About 102 passengers, about two dozen crew seeking a fresh start in a new world. It would be a two-month journey that took them to present-day Massachusetts. We mentioned yesterday that Hispanic.
You can do it.
Forgot heritage.
There you go.
With the word heritage, I had culture back there. Hispanic Heritage Month started yesterday, and that is because it marked Independence Day for several Central American countries. And coincidentally, today, Mexico began its 11-year fight for independence from Spain on this day in 1810. It would take 11 years, but would finally happen for Mexico. All right, let's get to some birthdays here. Flo Rida, who played the Northern Wisconsin State Fair not that long ago, has a birthday today and is 46 years old. Sometimes I get a good feeling. Anyway, that's a 2011 song that got its foundation in a 1962 song. Here's the original, the start of the original, by Etta James.
Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. Yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no. Yeah.
And then the song gets a little bit more up-tempo from there. But every time I'd hear that, I'm like, I know I've heard that where someplace before. And you have to go back to 1962. But yeah, there it is.
I did not know about that. I can't believe how carbon copy that is.
Yes. Tony, nothing says Northern Wisconsin like Flo Rida. Yeah, but Flo Rida then also played, what, something over in like Green Bay or Oshkosh, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Somebody knows where to make the money.
They're, so Idea Fest on Friday. I don't know if you were listening at all, Pat, but Minnesota Governor Tim Walz was talking, and he was saying how he got to meet Flo Rida.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no. Was it him?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
I wasn't listening.
I don't remember anymore. There was a story about Flo Rida.
Not just me. It's Hispanic Heritage Month, by the way. Let's do another birthday here. Singer Mark Anthony is 57 today. All right, I got some Milwaukee baseball notes here. Robin Yount, the kid, is 70 years old today. That's going to date some folks. Robin Yount, happy birthday. Happy 70th. There was a no-hitter thrown at County Stadium in Milwaukee on this day in 1960, and that would be Milwaukee Braves future Hall of Fame pitcher Warren Spahn, who no-hit the Philadelphia Phillies 4-0 at County Stadium this day 65 years ago. And on this day in 1996, Paul Molitor joined the 3,000-hit club. The Brewers legend was with the Minnesota Twins at the time, but Paul Molitor hitting number 3,000 on this day 29 years ago. On this day in 1984, we're back to doing TV series premieres, and this brand new show called Miami Vice made its debut with a two-hour episode that included a scene that featured a Phil Collins hit that everybody now associates with Miami Vice. You couldn't resist, could you? You could not resist playing some air drums. Parker couldn't resist.
Yeah.
You have to. You just have to. It's mandatory. Again, Miami Vice making its debut in 1984. Story I've told before. That was when we were engaged planning a wedding. And there was a Miami Vice line of tuxedos. And, of course, in Miami Vice, everybody wore these different very bright pastel colors.
Yeah.
And so instead of, like, black tuxes, your groomsmen could basically look like a rainbow. There was like a pastel blue, yellow, orange, a key lime green.
Yeah.
We threatened our friends with going with the Miami Vice theme for the wedding, but instead we went for the classy.
Aww.
The royal blue and the charcoal tux.
How
and of course huge shoulders, because that's what we wore in the 80s. Yeah. Shoulder pads for everybody.
How closely did this resemble the Miami Vice tuxes? How closely did that resemble the Dumb and Dumber?
it was very much in that way. There weren't necessarily the ruffled shirts or the top hats, although I suppose you could have got those optional. But yes, it was very, very similar to Dumb and Dumber. But that's, again, that was the style at the time, Miami Vice. If you've ever shopped at a JCPenney, that's a real person. His name was James Cash Penny. He was born this day in 1875. He passed away in 1971 at the age of 95 and made a lot of pennies in his day. Yes, Parker.
His name was not Cash Penny.
Yes, James Cash Penny.
No
Instead
way.
Of Johnny Cash, he was Jimmy Cash Penny.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. So what else? We got General Motors was founded this day in 1908. Let's go to 1979, where the Sugar Hill Gang released a song that would become the first rap song to ever chart on the Billboard Hot 100.
I said a hip. The hip to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rockin' to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
Now, you ever see videos on TikTok where people are hearing a song for the first time in a genre that they normally do not listen to? And at first you're kind of looking at each other like, what is this?
You're allowed
what
do we think this? Of this? What?
And then they kind of get into it. That was pretty much everybody, at least in the American Midwest, in 1979, as this comes on, and you're just like, they're not really singing. They're like talking really fast.
Yeah.
They're just, but then you start moving your shoulders and it's like, yeah, but the groove is pretty good here. So it was a revelation at the time.
I never thought of it as like an entire region of America went, oh. Huh?
Oh yeah. Oh, without a doubt. We're like, huh. Well, what do we think of this?
Yeah, I suppose.
And it grows on you. Yes, it does. All right. That was 1979. In 1978, Boston released their second album, Don't Look Back. The title track would be a big hit, and the album would hit number one. On this day in 1977, I found this one yesterday. I didn't realize we had to go this far back for the Talking Heads. But in 1977, Sire Records released Talking Heads 77, the debut studio album by a new band called the Talking Heads. It's the one that featured their single, Psycho Killer. I did not know it was that old of an album, but it is from 1977. Singer Richard Marx is 62 years old today. Singer Nick Jonas is 33 years old today. On this day in the year 2000, Madonna went to number one with the song Music. This was her first number one since 1995. It was her 12th number one overall. And near as we can tell, it's her most recent one. I don't want to say it's her last number one. She could do it again. But her most recent number one was this day 25 years ago.
I would not have thought it was that long.
Yeah, I know. On this day in 1965, there was a British singer named Davy Jones. And he was not the guy in the Monkees. And he did not want to be confused for the Davy Jones that was in the Monkees. So this guy, whose name also was Davy Jones, changed his stage name 60 years ago today, this day in 1965, to David Bowie. And the rest is history. Those of you folks who watch Judge Judy, which I never really got into that much, but that show premiered this day in 1996.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because before that, about the only court show out there was something called The People's Court with Judge Wapner, you know, a kindly older fella.
Yeah.
And it worked just fine, you know, as a court show. And then just this Judge Judy, what's her last name? Shineland, said, hey, why don't we spice this up a bit? Why don't we kick this up a notch and start shouting at the people who come into her courtroom and calling them stupid? And, you know, what's going to happen on American TV? We're going to eat that up. Yeah. Oh, we love insults. We love confrontation. So, yeah, that's where we are. Let's note that there is a very big birthday from 100 years ago today. He is not still with us. What a centennial celebration it would be. B.B. King was born this day 100 years ago.
When you're dead, you die. So let the good time roll.
That's that guy. Thankfully, music will always be a part of our lives. This is National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day. Where are we on cinnamon raisin bread?
Cinnamon. Those are two. Actually, those are three good things. Cinnamon, raisin, and bread. All three great things. Together? I think that could be good.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
Have you never had cinnamon raisin bread or cinnamon raisin toast?
Not that I remember. Oh, boy.
My goodness. There are times I wonder, where did the alien ship land and let you off? This is amazing. Never had cinnamon raisin toast. What did they feed you? Just the water that you drink all the time? And the fruit roll-ups?
Just the water, the fruit roll-ups, wow. And turkey and cheese sandwiches.
The turkey and cheese sandwiches, of course. How about Play-Doh? This is National Play-Doh Day.
Play-Doh.
Did you play with Play-Doh as a kid?
Oh, yeah, I
did
ate Play-Doh.
Did you eat the Play-Doh as a kid because they wouldn't give you any good food or what?
I didn't eat the Play-Doh.
A couple of occupations are celebrated today. This is World Barber Day. I have a great barber, Dan the Barber Man in Eau Claire. Been seeing him for 30 years, and it's wonderful to have a good, reliable barber and affordable. May I hasten to add as well. You know what a haircut costs these days at other places?
Too much.
too much. Yes. And this is also IT Professionals Day. And we really want to thank the IT professionals up there. Well, the ones who want to be helpful. Sometimes you call and it was just like, you know, you get dismissed or treated like you're dumb. But, you know, a good IT person, man or woman, is worth their weight in computer chips.
Shout out basically. To Civic Media Engineering team.
Oh my goodness. Yes. When you're growing a radio network, there are some technical difficulties now and then. And you really appreciate a good IT person who can tell you, who can basically keep you on the air. At some point, I was just going to stop talking and make the joke about IT and when things don't work. And I realized that doesn't really translate well on live radio, does it? Coming up, we'll be talking to Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge. She's also a candidate for Congress and has some thoughts on her congressman, Derek Van Orden, now threatening to cut federal funding to the city of Eau Claire because he doesn't like what some city council members have posted online. That's all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday. The Los Angeles Angels come to town for a series tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night. All evening games for the next three evenings. Pre-game starting at 6:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and WBZH up in Hayward. Let's talk entertainment news here for a bit. And I mentioned watching the second half of the Emmys yesterday and how Seth Rogen's show, The Studio, set a record for Emmy wins. 13 wins, like 26 nominations. This thing is apparently a juggernaut. And I would never have guessed that because I will admit I am not the world's biggest Seth Rogen fan. I mean, he's fine, but yeah. I wouldn't go out of my way to watch something that he does.
No, yeah, that's fine. I don't even know if I'd heard of that show before.
You see, that's the magic of the Emmys, you know? So I put up on Facebook, just on my personal page to my friends, just wanted to know, because there's sometimes shows that I don't get into right away, and people say, oh, you should watch this one. And then we go, nah, we try it again. Well, okay, it's okay. Yeah. And so my post yesterday on this to my friends was, can someone make the case for why we should try The Studio? Because is it like Ted Lasso or Schitt's Creek that it starts off really odd and then it grows on you? Or did you try The Studio and then remembered that it has Seth Rogen in it? Which is kind of where I don't think I could get past that. Well, the comments have come in from friends. One says, tried it and loved it. Another says, it took a bit to warm up to, but I'm glad I did it for the last few episodes. Which, by the way, same goes for the other shows that I mentioned. They may start a little quirky, but boy, they really find their paces. Yeah. The other one that we're doing that with, Shrinking on Apple TV, Harrison Ford, Jason Segel. Highly recommend. But again, the first couple episodes, you're like, I don't think I want to do this one.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
That's, you know? So I have a really hard time getting into stuff if I'm not like hooked right away.
Yeah.
That investment is tough sometimes.
Right. And I think that's where, you know, people say that about Hack as well with Gene Smart. Anyway, we've got another friend saying Seth Rogen is an amazing human. So that's why I suggest giving it a try. Okay. Another says, I'm not a fan of Seth Rogen's usual humor in movies. This was different. It was also a really cool look behind the scenes of the movie industry, which honestly felt a lot like working in politics as the episodes went on. I ended up really liking it. And Bryan Cranston is insane and excellent in it too. And I saw that when Bryan Cranston came out at the Emmys to present. I had no idea he was part of this show, the Seth Rogen show, The Studio. So now I have more reason to do it. Another friend says, I thought it was good, though there are better shows like Somebody Somewhere and Severance. If you're really jonesing for Seth Rogen, I'm not. Though I'm not sure why one would. I prefer platonic, he says. But that's the other thing. I looked at some of these shows, like Adolescence. Adolescence won several awards at the Emmys. Adolescence is all about a 13-year-old boy who's accused of murdering a classmate and tracking him through like the court system and all the family drama that results. Could I possibly express enough how much that does not sound like entertainment to me in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
Now look, I'm not much for drama and mystery. I'm definitely not for horror. For me, entertainment is make me laugh. You know, it just is. So. Yeah. Which is not to say I will watch dramas. I loved Game of Thrones. Completely head over heels loved it. But
I need to get into Game of Thrones.
There's plenty of shows where I go, I would never watch that. I would never turn that on. And yet they win big awards and they've got viewers, so they're out there.
You're not an Emmy voter.
Yeah. So anyway, there's my contribution to entertainment news. What have you been looking at? Wait a minute. I'm going to play the role of Harvey Levin with his oversized water cup, which of course is
my very big
courier coffee mug, travel mug here. This thing is, it's almost a yardstick. Anyway. So here I've got my pretend big jug of
water. While you drink your gallon of coffee there.
Yikes.
Tom Brady is like sort of unretiring from football. He's coming back for flag football. It's also going to be in Saudi Arabia, so don't worry, Jets fans. He can't hurt you anymore. The flag football game is going to be in March of next year. So
in Saudi Arabia?
In Saudi Arabia, apparently. And the thinking is that it's helping him and a couple other guys prepare possibly for the Olympics, because the Olympics are going to have flag football in 2028.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see a 51-year-old Tom Brady in the Olympics in 2028?
Oh my gosh, I didn't connect the dots that way. Tom Brady adding a gold medal to everything else that he's got in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got the Super Bowl rings, he's got the adulation. He doesn't have Giselle, but that's another story. Look, I'm glad that flag football is catching on. I'm glad the NFL's embraced it as an alternative to full contact football.
Yeah.
So, I'm all good with flag football. I'm not good with Saudi Arabia. I am not good with Tom Brady potentially getting a gold medal. It's not sitting well with me right now.
Doesn't feel good.
No, my day was going fine, but now I thought, you know, my life is good. But then Tom Brady's going to win a gold medal along with wearing all of his Super Bowl rings. Where's the justice in the world? Oh, speaking of justice in the world, from Tony on YouTube, what happened to The Bear? It won a ton of Emmys last year and nothing this year. You know why? You know why it did, because even though it probably is a good show, it probably is a good drama, they insisted on inserting themselves into the comedy category. They won all these awards anyway, because it was apparently a very well done show. But I think everybody was like, okay, we've recognized you're a good show. You are not a comedy. And yet they entered in the comedy category again this time. And you could feel the entire industry go, No. I mean, we get that comedies are sometimes a little bit darker these days, sometimes can be a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
But that's not a comedy show. It's just not.
No.
So I, for one, am happy. I would like to see that happen with Tom Brady, where you say I'm now a flag football star. No, you're not. And The Bear is not a comedy. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Emily Berge, the city council president and a candidate for Congress. And then in our 8 o'clock hour, Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.